Marker.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
How are you?
Doing okay. Malcolm.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we're going to continue with our study of the Parasha of Noah from the Zohar, the Salam commentary. And we're in section 31, and we're going to start with Pasuk 241. And I'll start with L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Tebit Hilu Erchimu Hilu Uchilu Erchimu. Leyakta l'shem yudhei bavathe, v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asot Torah mitzvah. V'ayhino amadunai Elohimu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu karenei, aleinu ma'asei yadeinu karenehu. V'kol akima dilta ta'itar, Rechimuta dil alea ela Tirein Shiragin kadita ach Nechora dil ela Bitnana desalik Mehahu dil tata Eat the leaf Ahu dilela, Amar Rabbi Yeskia, Akehu vadai, Yama ila'a, Talia betata'a, Betata'a beila'a, Umizmena beit chareh vebei, Mikmahtisha, Birkan la ishtakahu ve'ela witata ve'achaza bida bida talia. And all as it occurs below arouses love above. For there are two candles, and when the light of the one on high is extinguished by rising smoke from the one below, the upper one is lit. Rabbi Hizkia then said that it is clearly true that the upper world, which is Bina, depends on the lower world, which is the female principle. For the female principle rekindles the extinguished Bina. The lower world, the female principle, depends on the upper world, Bina, because the light that the female principle made shine is Bina, is merited by the female principle as well. The fact that since the destruction of the temple there are no more blessings above in Bina or below in the female principle shows that the two depend on each other. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I have a question. What are the candles? What is the candle lit below that it rises above and lights another candle? What does that mean?
In the last, not the last verse, the verse before that, I think, it talked about the eternal light that is never, never ended. The light that is continuous in Bina. But the smoke of the sweet savor, the smoke of the sacrifices, conceals the light from seeing it from below. And that's what the verse is referring to. That when the smoke goes up into Bina, it conceals that eternal light in Bina. So if that smoke is representative of anger, it more metaphorically extinguishes the light. But if that smoke is connected to a sacrifice, it will relight the light in Bina, the eternal light.
A lot of static on the line. It's hard to hear you.
I mean, I hear a little bit of it, but not a lot. So, is that any better, Brandy?
Yes, that's better.
Okay. So are there any other questions, or should I go on to verse 242?
No, go on.
Okay. As soon as the scrolling mechanism works. Wa amar Rabbi Yosei, birkan la ishtakahu. Uvavtin ishtakahu behayaniku Dikola behahu Sitra nafke Maita ama Begin di Yisrael La sharyan biara Wila palche kulchana Deit sterich Le'ad laka Botsimin ulishtakacha Birkan ugin kachla mishtache Le'ela witata we'alma layativ Bekiyumeya Kidkayaot. And Rabbi Yossi said that there are no blessings, but curses do exist, because sustenance is drawn from that side, namely from lighting the upper candle with the smoke that rises from the lower one. Why? Because Israel do not reside in the land of Israel and do not worship properly. To worship properly is to light the candles. To light the upper candle with the lower one and to draw down the blessings to be passed on to the worlds. This is why there are no blessings above or below. Therefore, the world is not maintained as it should. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So is it saying because we don't have the temple anymore and we don't do sacrifices that it can't bring down blessings?
Not quite. What it's saying is that because we don't have the temple anymore, we are in exile. And because we are in exile, it's impossible for us to pray completely correctly, because any action, prayer is concluded as an action. Any action requires the proper time, the proper place, the proper kavanah, and the proper action. So because we are in exile, our prayers are as an action cannot be in the proper place. Any other questions? Pasuk 243. Hu amar Rabbi Chizkiya lo yosif lekalel odet ha'adama bi'avur di'adam. Mayhu amar Rabbi Yasa hakishim ona. Me Rabbi Shimon de Amar Kolina de Yesha de Leila Osif Letach Fatinana de Yehudina de Tata Itkev Rugza de Shete Kola. Begin the card, nafik esha, leya, leya, pasak. Adishtaliem. Dina, the card, dina, deal tata, lausif, leitakpa, pidyana. Dilela avidina upasik vela ishtalam dina lesheta ugin kach v'ketiv lo osif v'mei hal tosefet leit takat takif va. Dina Uchita. Questions, comments, thoughts? Oh, I didn't read the English, did I?
No.
Well, you're supposed to pick up the message from my sending it out from my mind.
Well, I heard Bina in there, yes. So it has to do something with Bina.
Then what is the meaning of the verse that reads, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake?
I can't understand a thing.
No, I just got it as much. I'm going to mute and see if that helps. No, I'm not able. Then Rabbi Chizkiya asked, what is the meaning of the verse that reads, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake? Could it be that the Holy One, blessed be He, feels regrets? Rabbi Yessa answered that he had heard it was so from Rabbi Shimon, who said that as long as the upper fire of Bina spreads, then the smoke, which is the lower judgment of the female principle, intensifies the anger and destroys everything. For when the fire from Bina comes forth, it does not stop until the punishment of the female principle, which is smoke, is carried out completely. So when the judgment from below, the smoke, ceases to gain strength by the judgment from above, from the force of the fire, then the judgment is done and stops and is not executed until destruction. That is why it is written, I will not again, meaning I will not continue to add to the fire in order to intensify the judgment down below, which is the smoke. Questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody's quiet. There's no need to unmute. I didn't mute.
No, I'm just Martha. I'm driving, so I'm going to go back
here. I understand, Martha. It's hard for you to ask questions if you're driving, and I don't want you to have an accident, God forbid. Anyone else?
This particular whole section, I just haven't gotten very much from it other than your explanations. It's been one of the few that just
It's a very esoteric section. It is hard to understand. So the question is, can God
express regret?
That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Rabbi, yes, he said he did. He agreed with that, but I'd like to think of it in another way, that God is always merciful, which in a way is the opposite of, or the antidote for regret.
No.
No?
It's not really an antidote for regret. Regret is you are sorry that you did something. Mercy does allow for forgiveness, but it's not really an antidote to regret. You can be forgiven for something that you regret, and you still regret it. Yes, you've been forgiven, and the strength of the regret is minimized, but you still will feel regret. But the question that's being asked, and both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon concur, that God felt regret that he had to destroy the world. But in this pasuk, we're learning that the Satan, the snake, has let the land rise. It has let the land go back to its place. It has purified the land of Israel from the negativity associated with the snake. That's what's being revealed in this pasuk. But Israel still needed to offer sacrifices because Noah had not yet completed the correction for Israel. The land had been forgiven. The land had risen out of the klipot, out of the curse. But sacrifices still needed to be brought to cleanse Israel, to cleanse Noah and his children, to cleanse mankind. Clear? So where does your regret come into your life today for the sacrifices that you cannot bring because the temple has been destroyed? Did you understand the question?
I didn't hear the first part. I thought we had the prayers that take the place of the sacrifices.
The prayers take the place of what exactly? They do take the place of sacrifices when we say the Karbanot, but we say a lot of other blessings and a lot of other prayers. So as I said, Rabbi Shimon is saying that the land has been forgiven, the land is rising. And as the land rises, it's living close to the destruction. It's, you know, Noah and his children still need to bring sacrifices, even though the land has been forgiven, Noah hasn't been forgiven. And to get closer to Hashem and to correct the mistake that were made, he has to have the grandchildren. And they have to bring the sacrifices. When the Torah was given to Israel at Mount Sinai, the evil is completely separated from the land, and the pollution ceased, and there was freedom from the angel of death, as is known. Do you want to do this pasuk over tomorrow, or should we start tomorrow at 2:45? You have all night to think about it.
Well, that was 2:43, so we would need to go to 2:44. But sometimes the next verse helps. But the way you explained it, I think I understand what you said. The land was forgiven, but Israel wasn't. And if we want to say Israel or Noah and his children, so they still had to bring sacrifices. And then even to the next generation had to continue. Is that basically what you said? Or did I misunderstand?
Well, right now I'm confused because I thought I had read 2:44. And then no, I'd read 2:43 earlier. So, I'm confused where we are.
2:44 is the envoy.
I did not read 2:43, so I skipped it. And that's what the problem is.
Okay.
So, and we're out of time, so let's pick up tomorrow with 2:43, and then we'll go on to 2:44. So we only covered tonight 2:41 and 2:42.
Okay.
Okay.
And I wish everyone a beautiful shalom to all. And we will reconvene tomorrow at the same time. Also, tomorrow night is a special class at 8:15. That's West Coast time. So after our 10 o'clock class, Zohar class tomorrow, we will have a special Rosh Chodesh information class. So I bid you all shalom and hope to see you tonight for questions and answers and tomorrow for a Zohar class. Shalom.
Okay. Shalom.
Shalom.